You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for July 20th, 2008. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys, pretty pictures, hello everybody, thanks for listening to the Cinemaniacs. My name is Walt, to my left is Jeff.
Howdy.
To my right is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hello.
Howdy, sexy.
Hey baby, what's up?
Not much, how you doing?
I'm all good. OG, that's, baby. All
that's,
good.
That's right.
I don't know.
The Cinemaniacs is a weekly podcast about movie news, reviews, and whatever we choose.
You're really getting good at that tagline, man.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I know, man.
Practicing my sleep.
I know.
This week on the Cinemaniacs, we're going to be talking about The Dark Knight, the new Batman movie.
Yeah. There's, one or two people want to see that, It's
just in case you haven't heard enough about it on the news.
Or the insane amount of marketing that's been going on for the last newspapers. 2 years.
Right. Including this podcast.
Yeah, we're ready to put our drop in the bucket as far as the drowning pool goes.
Totally.
Oh, we had some technical difficulties over the last couple weeks, so double check your iTunes or wherever you get our podcast at and see if you hadn't missed the last episode. This is episode number 23, and 21 and 22 didn't seem to download regularly, so double check and go back and get them if you missed them.
Good advice.
And one last tidbit of information. I want to let everybody know that this Thursday, July 24th, at 7:30 p.m. across the country, theaters across the country, they're going to be showing the 25th anniversary of War Games, that computer hacker thriller from the early 80s, well, 1983, 25 years ago, 25th anniversary, starring Matthew Broderick, Ali Sheedy, Dabney Coleman, where young David Lightman, he breaks into the computer system and seemingly causes global thermonuclear war. And that's at Fathom Events. If you go to fathomevents.com, you'll see the movie listings, movie theater listings to where this is showing all across the country. The Cinemaniacs will be there at the Santa Fe Cinemas here in Las Vegas. And hope to see you there, or certainly join in with us as we watch across the country. And then we'll do a special edition podcast right afterwards. So look for that this Thursday, July 24th. Well, The Dark Knight opened up this past weekend and broke records. $155 million this weekend, which beats out Spider-Man 3 from last year, which did about $151 million. Right. You both went to see the midnight showing Thursday night.
Yes, we did. We paid our money.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah, man.
And Lisa, you liked it so much, we went back and saw it yesterday, took the kids.
I would even be willing to have gone and seen it again today. But
yeah, I would like to see it a second time.
I would like to see it in IMAX.
I'm actually going to make, yeah, that's what I want to do. I actually want to make an effort to see it in IMAX.
Well, that's what our plan was. We woke up Saturday morning and we were going to go see the IMAX. So I looked at the schedule and said, maybe I should buy the tickets before we get down there. They were all sold out all day long. So we went to see it in regular theater. Not a bad theater. Great theater. So let's start from the beginning. The Dark Knight is a sequel to Batman Begins, which came out a couple of 3 years ago.
Yep.
Christopher Nolan, who's known for films like Memento and The Prestige,
right,
teams up again with Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne, Morgan Freeman as Lucius Fox, his little gadget maker guy, and of course Michael Caine plays Alfred.
Yes, he does.
Not in a bad way, Maggie Gyllenhaal replaces Katie Holmes as Rachel Dawes.
In a very good way.
Right. Well, we all love Maggie Gyllenhaal quite a bit.
Yeah, I was very excited to hear about that.
But I thought Katie Holmes did a great
job.
Oh,
no, no. Yeah. Yeah, no, she did fine. But, yeah, that's, Maggie Gyllenhaal is Maggie Gyllenhaal. I'm a fan, so.
Well, we found that out from a couple weeks episodes ago when you told us about Sherry Baby.
Yep, exactly. That's, it's...
Then also added to the cast is Aaron Eckhart, who plays
Harvey Dent,
the assistant district attorney, Rachel Dawes' boss and boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. And there was somebody else in this movie, wasn't there? Some guy, some actor?
Yeah, like, some who? Dead actor. Hello.
Yeah, I'm being a little sarcastic there. We are talking, of course, about what's become, around this movie, the legend of Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger plays the Joker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he plays the hell out of the Joker. Yes, he does.
Yeah, you almost get exhausted watching this man. I mean, it's intense. I told Walt, the whole movie to me was explosively intense.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead and give us an update of what's going on in Gotham.
Well, I was going to say, first of all, because you mentioned the Joker, that the Batman series from the 80s and 90s, what everybody remembers is Jack Nicholson's portrayal of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 60s, the TV show, people definitely remember Cesar Romero playing the Joker.
Yes,
but I think the Penguin and Catwoman, they also are standout villains.
Right.
Yeah, that was all what we were based on when we were kids. Remembering.
That's what we had as children.
So the Joker is an iconic Batman villain.
He's really the Batman villain.
Yeah. Right?
He's the arch nemesis.
He's the yin to the yang, you know, he's the dark to the light.
Even in the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Which is played by Mark Hamill. In all the animated series.
And he's outstanding
series.
In it, too. Oh, yeah.
Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, he plays a Joker in all the animated series. He's that good.
He's really
good.
Well,
that voice, man, he got, that's a really great voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's grown from the whiny Luke Skywalker voice, I guess.
But who's going to go to the pasture station to pick up some paracommuters?
So his dad's must have dropped.
Yeah, they dropped a while ago.
But here we have Gotham is right after Batman Begins leaves off.
It's a year later. About a year later.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because at the end of Batman Begins, and they say, you know, hey, there's this guy out there. He's done a couple of homicides, a Joker, trying to find out. But here we go, a year later, and he's stepped up. He's got a crew together to do bank robberies. Actually, he's robbing the mob.
Yep.
Mob banks, where they're storing their money. You can explain some of the plot.
Okay. Once another year's gone by, Batman, you know, he's still doing his thing. There's copycats now, you know. And he's, you know, the thing is, the whole idea behind Batman, when he, you know, from the first movies, he wanted to create the symbol for people to get behind, and they've kind of gotten behind it, but not really in the way that he'd hoped. And so now we bring in Harvey Dent, and Bruce Wayne really has high hopes for Harvey Dent.
Who's the district attorney,
and he's basically the public face of, you know, stopping crime. There is a definite tide turning in Gotham, which Batman has started, but he hopes that it could, like, go on without him, you know. And they're dealing with the Joker, who's just pure chaos. And Gary Oldman, we're talking about casting. Gary Oldman is back as Jim Gordon.
I forgot about him. Fantastic.
What a great performance again.
Now Jim Gordon is lieutenant.
Now he's a lieutenant. And they're basically, you know, they're trying to deal with putting away the mob bosses and dealing with this Joker who's really kind of coming up the works and everything like that. And
well, let's go right into, you guys keep talking about the Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker.
Okay. Pretty much from the first moment you see him, you're just captivated and a little bit scared. Such a good performance. I mean, just utter manic. I mean, the guy is talking and then just at a moment could just jump into this other, you know, his voice. He comes across very, I don't know, kind of plain and unassuming almost, you know, with his voice, you know. But then all of a sudden, he just turns on this hidden rage that just freaks you out.
Yeah.
You know.
The first 6 minutes, the opening bank robbery scene, been shown in the movie theaters as a trailer and such for a while now, so a lot of people have seen that.
Yeah.
But it's the next scene after that, not to give anything away, but we will have spoilers after the show.
Yeah.
That even the kids are going around talking about what he did in the scene.
What an amazing, yeah. That's really the official introduction of the Joker, right?
Yeah,
there. That's where you really first get to meet him.
It's a great entrance.
What a perfect entrance. And it doesn't. I mean, every time. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to give props to Jack Nicholson, because when you watch that first Batman movie, you could not wait for the next time the Joker was going to be on the screen.
Exactly.
And same here. You're just. Right. I mean. Only with the exception of all the stuff that's going on in the movie, even when the Joker's not in it, it's so good, you're not, like, actually longing for it. You're just like, oh, great, he's back. You know, there's such good, the story and everything, every part of this movie is just perfect. This movie fires on every cylinder.
Yeah, the story is really well written.
Yes.
With the plot synopsis, like what you were talking about. Yeah. You know,
I'm just giving you the bare basics to kind of get you started. I mean, this thing is really deep. I mean, it's a crime drama. It's a, you know, it speaks about, you know,
humanity
and the nature of people, whether or not they can be good, even if it's not in their best interest, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, and those
romance.
Yeah.
Romance, everything.
The romance is good. And
I like this with the whole look at things the darkest before the dawn kind of thing. It reminds me an awful lot of like Empire Strikes Back as far as, you know, that whole bleakness.
Yeah. Well, what was the comparison I made to Heath Ledger's Joker? The ultimate compliment. We were talking about what, you know, there's the whole Oscar buzz thing about Heath Ledger's performance, and as hyped up as I was for this movie and hyped up to see this performance, it went beyond my expectations. I mean, I was ready for something amazing, and I was still impressed. And so, I mean, and so what I was saying is like. He was Anton Sugargood, which is, you know, Javier Bardem's villain in No Country for Old Men. You reminded me of Hannibal Lecter, and then I thought, oh, the ultimate compliment I could pay him was he was Darth Vader in Empire Strikes Back, evil.
Yeah,
that I would agree with that.
He really was. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, we've seen, you know, the AFI top, you know, was Heroes and Villains list.
Right.
I mean, they do another list a few years down the line. That version of the Joker is going to be on that list and somewhere near the top.
I would agree.
I mean, that's, yeah, it's one of the best screen villains I've seen, well, I'd have to say in a year, because, you know, because of last year's No Country, but wow, you know.
It was very chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chilling, entertaining, funny, scary as hell.
The dialogue is so well written for, and how he played it, but so well written across the board.
Oh, yeah.
I found maybe one hokey line in the whole damn thing, and it. Oh, but it was awesome. And not by them. It was a side character.
And I'm not going to say any details, but that interrogation scene.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved
it. Such a great movie.
It was great.
Lisa had the advantage of watching this movie twice this weekend, and there's a couple of lines of dialogue, like not lectures or diatribes, but where they go on talking and, you know, like an evil villain.
A monologue. Yeah.
And it. I think it's advantageous to see a second time for that reason alone, just to take it all in, because you can't the first time.
It's hard. I'm dying to see it again, because I do. I remember there were some good pieces of dialogue. I was like, God, I want to. What was he saying? You know,
that's some really, really good dialogue.
It
in
was
there
really well
written. It gives me the chills to think about it, because I'm, you know, you rank up there with, like, say, Tarantino's dialogue and
in Pulp Fiction.
The way that these people play each other back and forth, and you're listening to their banter. You're just my God, I can't. Oh,
yeah.
It's great. Just chilling. Very chilling. And like you said, a lot of reflection and humanity.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that Lisa and I, we took our kids, age 8, 10, and 12, to the theater. Now, the 8-year-old was kind of restless. He didn't want to sit still because there's so much dialogue. There's a lot of story going on.
There is a lot of story going on.
Yeah. A lot of story.
You know, so it's not all action-packed. So he wasn't going to sit still for that.
Right.
But the other ones seem to enjoy it pretty good. The older 12-year-old. And it is rated PG-13, so there's some violent parts. So, you know, watch your kids when you're...
There are a couple of moments that I can imagine for little kids could be kind of creepy.
Yeah, this is not a film for little kids.
Yeah.
I wouldn't based on the performances of a lot of the people and things like that it's pretty intense. And I think
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's exhausting, say, for a younger person, like, of his age caliber, because, like you said, there is a lot of dialogue, but you do have a lot of explosions and action scenes as well, and I think that's what exhausts a person, you know.
Now, let's talk about those explosions and action scenes. Here in this movie, if there was any CG, I'm sure there was some.
Some, very little.
But you couldn't detect it.
Christopher Nolan doesn't like to use it when he...
Stunts.
Yeah.
You know, the bat car, the Batmobile and things. Those are real vehicles.
Yeah.
Motorcycle.
I mean,
as a real vehicle.
You see, exactly. Somebody had to drive that thing. You see the... Yeah. Everybody, it's in the trailer. Everybody see that semi flipping over on its front end. I mean, they did that.
Right. Yeah.
They had to do... I mean, that was amazing.
I love that. Yeah. I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about this director, you know, his vision as far as this whole enterprising franchise goes. Please, God,
his
bring
vision,
us some more.
Yeah, his vision of Gotham and these characters is
excellent.
Great, because it's down to earth.
You know, the detail, the attention to detail, when we were watching it that night, and then again the next day, I think there was one thing that I missed as far as like... one of the signs, signage and things. I'm really big on like backdrops and things like that.
Yeah.
And I noticed on the license plates, they all say Gotham, and they're all like an Illinois license plate for like, you know, Chicago.
Yeah.
But they say on them Gotham.
That's
and it's
very cool.
It's outstanding. I love the attention to detail when you have something like that. And he didn't miss not a one of them, because on the emergency vehicles, all of that, on all the other cars. Yep. I love that when people do something right.
Yeah. And they did everything right with this movie.
Those things matter.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Michael Caine was on The View the other day with Morgan Freeman, and they were talking about Heath Ledger's performance. And he said he's sitting there, he's talking to Heath, you know, in the little chairs, and he's in makeup, but they're talking, having a regular conversation. And, you know, Michael Caine is, of course, a well-respected actor, been around 40, 50 years,
exactly.
Nominated for Oscars, won Oscars, mm-hmm. You know, very talented man. And Heath Ledger, young up-and-coming guy, has already been nominated for an Oscar for Brokeback Mountain.
Right.
But they're having a conversation, and then they call Heath to the set, and he leaves the room, and he comes back in and is just totally in character, totally like a different person.
And left he switched it on.
Right.
How he just switched it on like that was really blew Michael Caine away.
Yeah.
And that would be saying something, a man of his experience.
Yeah, he's been around actors forever, you know, longer than Heath had been alive at the time, you know. So for him to really impress somebody like that, that's saying something. And it shows. It shows on the screen in a big way.
Upon watching this performance, I have doubts that anyone can ever fill those shoes again because it just for that character.
They can't bring that character back. That character is done.
It sucks.
It really does suck because they can't do anything with that anymore.
It's just brilliant.
Not in this universe. Not in this incarnation.
The whole time that you're watching this performance and watching this movie, and it's a great compilation all in all. The performance, yes, it outweighs and varies. You're just watching film greatness.
Yeah.
My God, it's chilling. Yeah. Please,
no, I mean that is literally it's the best aspect of it. But I mean, you know, I don't want to take away from the other parts of the movie.
Oh,
the
actors. I know.
It's such a solid movie.
No,
you know
it's what you're saying. Yeah, it's 100% solid.
Even if Ledger's performance hadn't been so just incredible,
it still would have been a great movie.
It still would have been just the best movie this summer. Period.
Yeah.
And you?
I don't know if I'd go so far as to say it's the best movie of the summer. It's up there. Of the summer, that would include Iron Man. I liked Iron Man better than this.
Really?
Now, let me tell you about this movie. Number one is that you guys went to see the midnight show, and you called me afterwards, and you told me, and you're raving and raving and raving. Okay.
Then overhype.
Big time overhype. Then on the news, every 15 minutes they're showing. I mean, they had already started before you guys called me after the show that they showed the big long lines outside the movie theater for the midnight showings. You know, 10:30 at night, everybody's lined up. And afterwards, they're saying, oh, everybody's just raving about it. All day the next morning, they're showing it on the news again and again and again. We go to see it at the, you know, we try to see the IMAX showings. They're all sold out. Okay. So that was disappointing. But we went to see it, and it was a great movie. There's nothing wrong with it. I give it 5 stars. I can tell you both do also.
Very enthusiastically, yes. Right.
But it is just, it does suffer from the overhypeness. I mean, it's overrated, I want to say. I mean, it's hard to say you're overrated if you give the movie 5 stars, but I'm just, like, sick and tired of hearing about it. So I don't want to take that away. I just want to help people know, go there, see a great movie, but don't. I hope you don't have the same thing that I have because it's just overhyped and overrated, and it's just boo, 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 boo. It's just too much.
I tried not to talk to you about that. Oh. To me, when I was discussing this with Walt the next day, if you're a Batman fan or a comic book fan, you're going to love this movie.
Right.
But if you're going just to see a movie, you know, you might not like it as much. And to me, it's the only thing that could possibly hold this movie back a little is that it does have such a dark undertone and that it really does have a bleakness about it.
That's the best part of it.
That's what I liked about it.
Because I'm not a huge, I mean, I like comic book movies, but I'm not a comic book guy, you know, and I don't get all geeked out and freaky over comic book movies, but, you know, this last Batman Begins, you know, was so dark and so bleak and so introspective. I loved it, you know, I was blown away by this movie. I didn't see it in the theaters. I didn't see it until DVD and was ashamed that I didn't see it in the theaters because I liked it that much. I liked what this guy had done with this character. He took it, you know, most of my experience with Batman has been The Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller graphic novel, which was amazing. It was, you know, and it's like, man, it should be this dark, you know, this is what it should be. And this is what Christopher Nolan has done with this.
Yeah.
He's taken it where it should be, you know?
No, I agree. I love that.
I mean,
but I'm saying that it might be too bleak for a lot of the general public. But,
maybe, yeah.
You know, most of these people are going to see it as teeny boppers and freak show as far as the death of Ledger.
Yeah. So. No, the bleakness and the hard questions about, you know, our humanity and everything, that's the stuff that blows me away about it. And once again, that performance, I mean, you know, I've seen all the different incarnations of the Joker. It's a cool character. It's an interesting character. He took that character and made it something so distinctly different from anything anybody else has come up with.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, and not just in the realm of the Batman universe. I'm talking about screen villains in general.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. He plays that manic.
That's why I didn't hesitate. You know, that's why, you know, you want to compare him to Nicholson and Romero. I don't want to compare him to Nicholson and Romero. I want to compare him to Darth Vader and Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
He was that good.
The Shark and Jaws.
Yeah. You may not consider yourself a comic book guy, but when you have read a lot of the comic books that you did read back in the early 90s and such were Batman books. You know, Arkham Asylum and Killing Joke and things, books like that.
Yeah.
So those were the darker Batmans.
The darker stuff. And it's great. And that's what I'm saying. That's very fertile, interesting ground. You know?
Well, yeah, that's because you got that whole gritty, realistic part of it. You don't have, like, Cape Crusader bullshit.
But even Tim Burton did that with his Batman movies. They were very dark.
They're in a surrealistic manner.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. But, is like I was even going to touch on that in when I was saying is, you know, this Dark Knight even makes me not really as interested in ever seeing the Burton movies again.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Seriously. Like, this took it out of any kind, I mean,
any kind of camp.
Burton's vision was dark, but it was still very fantasy-like.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fantasy to it. He lived in a castle, and, you know, everything was shaped kind of weird. Even the city, you know, looked pretty surreal.
Gothic.
Yeah. All of
everything was goth. Everything was goth, and, you know, the whole thing.
Everything Burton does is surreal.
And that's cool. That's a style and everything like that. But what Chris Nolan did was he brought it into reality as much as you can bring something like
that. It was not overly exaggerated as far as...
So because it's set in a Chicago-type city or Hong Kong, you know, that's...
Well, even the first one, I mean, it's just there. It's, you know, the Batmobile is a tank instead, you know, it's a tank instead of, you know, a big...
Banana car?
Big winged... Yeah, banana car, you know, glorified Wienermobile, you know? It's, you know, I mean, that's really, I swear, I mean, actually, yeah, I find myself kind of dogging the Burton movies now. You know, I mean, it's real easy to dog the Schumacher stuff, you know.
Oh, right. Hell yeah.
You know, neon cod pieces and glow-in-the-dark nipples, you know, who needs all that noise? But like I said, this new telling of this story even makes those first two Burton movies come across a little childish.
Hmm. I did love Iron Man. So, yeah, it's really hard because that's what you reflect on when you think of, like, comic book movies or whatever during this past summer. And Iron Man was a great movie as far as a summer movie goes. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, you have a good time watching it with some of the jokes and things like that. Yeah. But then you think about the dark parts, too, where, you know, you're selling arms to...
Yeah,
Middle Eastern dealers and things like that. But
as far as Iron Man goes,
yeah, and so yeah, I understand what you're saying as far as you liked Iron Man, you know, more than this movie.
And that's because Jeff mentioned summer blockbusters. Now, as far as this movie, then you have Rambo 2, which I would, you know, these three movies, I would definitely put Batman up in amongst those three movies as the best movies of 2008 so far.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. We're only in July here. You know, there's a whole bunch more movies coming out.
Oh, yeah. And then, is it going to be any better than this? Yeah. Put it on, baby.
Exactly. Oh, my God. If we got some fall movies that are going to top, that are going to make this movie not look not so good, I can't wait.
Dude, I could see why the screenwriters went on strike now. You know, it's like, give us our money, bitches.
That's right. Yeah, dude. Yeah, whoever can top The Dark Knight for, you know, for the best movie of the year, man. More power to you. I can't wait to see it.
Well, you have a number of movies coming out. Even, in fact, with trailers we saw, you know, like the James Bond Quantum of Solace.
I know. Can't wait. Looks great.
Pineapple Express is still coming out.
I want to see that.
Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How good is
that? X-Files.
X-Files.
Was it Burn After Reading?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to see that. Burn After Reading will be the follow-up to the Coen Brothers Oscar-winning No Country for Old Men.
Right. And... was that Ridley Scott, Leonardo DiCaprio movie? Was that coming out this year?
Yeah.
Yep, I believe so.
Body of Lies,
Leonardo DiCaprio, Russell Crowe starring in the Ridley Scott movie. I have to think back to The Departed, where Leonardo DiCaprio is working with Matt Damon, and it's like, Matt, this Bourne Identity movie, that's just great stuff that you're doing. And he says, yeah, the Jason Bourne character, you really need to find something like that, Leo, because I'm watching this Body of Lies, and Leo looks like is Jason Bourne, different, but yeah. Still an action, young action guy. I wish him all the best. I'll be there opening day. It'd be fantastic.
Right.
But that's all I can think about at that.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you can top it, cool. You know, that's all the better for us.
But, yeah, wow. That's true.
But I'm going to tell you, this movie, get out there and see it.
Yeah, so far to me, it's twice. Like the best movie I've seen this year. And
yeah.
We went to go see Indy, and we went to go see Iron Man, mm-hmm. You know, all these other movies.
Loved Indy. I had a ball at Indy.
Yeah, it's fun.
It was fun. But
it wasn't this.
Not no. This was a whole new level.
Forgive me if you feel like you're being overhyped, but yeah, this is the movie to see. If you're a cranial person.
trust me, I was overhyped and, you know. And I'm like, but it just, it lived up to it and it surpassed it for me.
You know what was cool is here you're thinking, okay, well, maybe they blew a lot of their load in some of the trailers and previews and things like that. And the whole, let's release the first 6 minutes and la-di-da-di-da, you know. And
they didn't show anything, folks.
Hell no.
Exactly. Showing the first 6 minutes of the movie, which I never knew. In fact, when I saw that 6 minutes, the bank robbery scene, I thought back to Spider-Man 1. That bank robbery scene that they had in that trailer that they pulled because the whole web, World Trade Center thing, whatever. Right. But so I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm taking part of the middle of the movie, but it isn't. It's the beginning of the movie. And all the rest of the trailers are so bad anymore. They show so much.
Right.
I'll watch the first one, it'd be a teaser trailer. Then the second one starts showing, it's like, ah! And then by the time the third, fourth trailer come out, you got your eyes closed and your hands over your ears, singing to yourself. Literally.
I know.
Yeah, it's just like when we went to go see Hellboy. It was just, by the time we got to the theater to see Hellboy, and it was, you know, that opening week, that Saturday after the Friday, and it just, you got to see half of the movie before, you know, you even went there.
Because of the trailer.
Yeah.
Yep, but yeah, not in this case, man. They aren't showing anything.
Oh, another thing about this movie, about The Dark Knight, is that it was just like it just kept going. It was like a train.
Yeah.
I mean, from the moment go, it just kept going.
Yeah.
And the music. Yeah. How about the music?
Music was great.
Music was perfect for this movie.
Even our son Daniel said that. He said every time something was going to happen, you could hear the music. And he made the noise and stuff.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Who did the music on this movie?
Well, I think it was James Newton Howard.
Well, he did a great job.
Yeah, there was some good music in that movie.
That's some really good music.
But, I mean, there were no parts where it was like, okay, come on, pick it back up again.
No.
You weren't?
No.
Nah, I never thought that once. And this is a 2.5-hour movie.
I know.
And it sure as hell didn't feel like it.
There was one scene, getting toward the end, and my jaw, I was just like a little kid watching a big giant TV, had my mouth open the whole time. Oh my god, this is amazing.
Yep. And I gotta say, even though the crowd was letting out at the time, there was a nice loud cheer of applause when Heath Ledger's name came up in the credits at the end.
Yeah. And the other dead guy,
Conway Wycliffe, that was the guy who was in memory of.
He did some good memory.
The stuntman.
he was the stuntman?
Yeah, he was a stuntman, died on the film.
Oh, well, you know what? Stunt people, they don't get enough recognition. That's for damn sure.
I'm glad they did that. We're going to do a stuntman Oscar, man.
Yeah, we really need that.
They should absolutely have that.
You know, they have like the stuntman awards.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. They need to take that and front it up because them stuntmen, if it hasn't been for them for so many years, I mean, come on. Shoot, we'd have some dead dudes.
Yeah. So
some dead actors.
No. Right when his name came up in the credits.
Oh, no, but it said this movie is in memory of.
Yeah, no, that was after. Yeah. Quite a few more people actually left after that.
That's true. You're right.
But in the initial credits where they go, you know,
it's been
Bale, when his name came up, everybody started applauding and hooting and hollering.
That was a lot of fun. It's been a long time since I've been to a midnight showing. Yeah. And then when we went the next day, I told my daughter, we're in line an hour before the 1 o'clock show. And so we're in line. And I told her, I said, you know, I haven't waited for in line for a Batman movie since 1988. It was great.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Now, we talked about comic book movies. Another trailer they showed. There's this year, several comic book movies have come out. Next year, so far that I've been able to tell, I'm not saying this is the only ones, but the two most known to me coming out next year are Wolverine and Watchmen.
Right.
Which is one of the all-time great graphic novels of all time.
That's what I've heard.
Alan Moore.
Yeah, I've read this, like, supposedly the graphic novel to end all graphic novels, right, or whatever.
Who watches The Watchmen was their slogan for a long time. And so you expect to see posters of that coming come January or so. Uh-huh. Who watches The Watchmen? Uh-huh. And they showed that trailer there. And no story or anything like that. It's just like, this is the movie. I mean, this is Watchmen. You're going to love it. Here it is. Huh? That's pretty much how they showed it, the trailer, I thought. All the different characters.
Yeah, it was an interesting-looking trailer. I had no idea what was going on.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't show any story. They just showed, here, look, here's all the characters. You've read the novel. So many millions of people have read this book.
Yeah.
And here's this character. Here's that character. That character.
You know, so have you read this?
No, I haven't read it.
Okay. Did you know who any of those people were?
No. And it's like one of my regrets in life that I haven't read that book yet. Mm-hmm. I will read it before the movie comes out.
Yeah,
just never found the time. It was like a 12-issue series, and to sit down and read all of them. But Alan Moore has written so many great things over the years as well.
All I know is by the guy that did 300, so that makes it interesting too.
Is that mm-hmm. Zack Snyder?
I don't know. I just know him as the 300 guy.
Of course, because, you know, for this guy who nobody's really ever heard of to go to Frank Miller and say, look, I can do this book. And Frank's like, yeah. And then he does it. And he's like, okay, yeah, you can do this. Yeah. And now get attached to another comic book film.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and Frank, he doesn't let go of stuff too easily.
No, he's very protective.
Yes.
I don't blame him. He's got a lot of artistic merit behind that. Yeah. When you have a vision and you want something done the right way, kind of like when the people draw it out and then they ink it the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, you want to talk about Frank Miller and doing it right. All you got to say is Sin City.
Right. And Zack Snyder, I mentioned, he did do the Dawn of the Dead, the remake, which was very, very good.
That was a really great remake.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, listeners, thank you for listening to this. After the outro music, we're going to spoil the heck out of this movie. So,
yeah, if you haven't seen it, don't listen.
If you haven't seen it, have a good night. Otherwise, keep listening.
There you go. Go see that movie.
Now.
Okay. Now spoil the heck out of it. I'm so glad that, I'm glad but surprised. But here's what we were talking about, the trailers.
Okay.
That they never ever showed Two-Face in it. And there he was.
I know.
It was fantastic because it was a surprise. This was the second movie this summer that I've seen in just a few weeks that they didn't tell you anything about it. And then here's revelation.
Yeah.
That's the way trailers should be.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh my, you know, you're pretty much convinced he's going to be Harvey Dent throughout the movie. He might
be Two-Face in the next movie.
He'll be Two-Face in the next movie. Nope.
He comes to this one. Now, that's the CG that I think they use for his face.
Yeah, well, they had to. Yeah, come on.
So, and can't take that away.
No.
But it was great.
Well, except for the first scene when he's laying in the hospital bed and you only see the side of his face.
Well, it's supposed to be like that.
No, but I'm saying that you can see the artifacts where it was cut out.
Oh.
Saying, like on a green screen
or something.
Or maybe that green makeup on the side of his face or something. But you could really tell as he was laying on the pillow. You know, I mean, I was looking to see.
I think they were trying to make it look like that so it would look choppy. Yeah, you'd notice that he's missing half of his face.
Yeah, it was supposed to look indented, like it was, like, you know,
like it's been burnt off.
Exactly. It shouldn't look like a makeup job, like it matches, like his lips are still. It should be.
You could only see the side of his face. He's laying on the pillow.
Right.
And then you see a blue outline.
Pillow isn't even there, like he's on a green screen. So what probably is that his face is painted green. you know, to match the green screen so they could edit it out later. You can tell the artifacts on it. It's kind of like the Indiana Jones thing when they're standing in the warehouse and they look like they're standing on a sound stage. Yeah. They're not.
I don't know.
It wasn't that it took away, but I was like, okay, that's how they did that.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was obvious how they were going to do it, but, it, you know, and it was only in that scene, like the scene where he's standing in the bar with that first cop he kills, you know.
He's taking his shot.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yeah, that was cool. That was awesome,
Harvey. Oh,
yeah.
How are you? How the flip do you think I'm doing?
I just all I can think about with the in regard to Heath Ledger and the Joker is just him in the nurse's outfit.
Oh my God, that was so fucking funny! That
crazy walk it is. What the hell is it? It's like he's trying to keep himself balanced in high heels or something. It was just so strange.
I can't say enough about that guy. That guy was just genius.
I know, and him just. Messing around with the detonator and everything like that.
Yeah, was trying to get it to work.
It was great, man.
Loved it.
And okay, yes, the official introduction. The official introduction of the Joker, you know.
Oh, hell.
I'm going to make this pencil disappear. I mean, come on.
You want to see a magic trick?
Yeah, you want to see it? And then, ta-da.
It's magic.
That was awesome.
Very good. And then you have... So they killed Commissioner Gordon, or right. He wasn't Commissioner, Lieutenant Gordon.
Lieutenant Gordon.
Congratulations on his commissioner appointment by the end of the movie.
Right.
All right, but they kill him, and then they bring him back. They kill Harvey Dent, and they bring him back. So then you're like, Rachel Doss, she's going to be dead, but she's going to come back. But they never brought her back. So it's like
she's dead.
Yeah, right. No, I have to believe that she is.
She's dead, yeah. She had to die.
For the sole purpose, I guess, of having Catwoman in the next movie or something. God, there's no announcements yet. No. In fact, Christopher Nolan doesn't have anything lined up. But it was weird, you know, killing people, bringing them back. Killing people, bringing them back. And then they never brought her back. I'm just sitting, I'm not even,
well,
disappointed or saddened that she's dead because I know they're going to bring her back because they brought everybody else back.
They're not bringing that bitch back.
Well, no, she wasn't, I mean, Gordon wasn't dead, obviously, you know.
I don't know, man.
I never doubted for a minute that he was dead because, first of all, he didn't become Commissioner Gordon. They can't differ from the comic book that much.
I don't know. I thought they killed him, but when he came back and everything like that.
When they started driving the truck, at first it was like, who's driving the truck? Is it a Joker or whatever? But maybe a third through that scene is like, oh, that's the Gordon is there in the mask.
I was actually completely surprised.
Wow, no.
I really was.
It was great. That was a rah-rah moment.
That was a rah moment. And the crowd rah-rahed.
It was like, yeah, all right.
I didn't even realize it when I was sitting next to you. I could have said it to you because you already knew.
Yeah.
Because you had already seen it. I should have said something. Yeah.
But I love that. I love that whole aspect of it. I thought it was great. She's dead. Rachel is dead. She got blowed up.
Yeah, we were saying that Scarecrow...
Got a little Killian Murphy cameo. Yeah. I'm sure you were happy about that.
That guy's angelically strange.
He talked to the mask.
A little, yeah.
But that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah, I love that.
And we had just seen Batman Begins again just the other day.
Right.
Did what happened to Scarecrow? I don't even remember. Did they catch him? I thought they caught him.
He's running around as a lowly drug dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How awesome was that? I mean, that was really cool.
Yeah.
It was cool of him to come in and do what? You know, half an hour's worth of work, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, it was cool of him to do that.
Oh, God, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love seeing a lot of those action sequences and stuff, like when Batman hits the wall in there.
You know what else I loved? In the interrogation scene, where he sits there, he slams his head. He goes, you know, you don't hit him on the head, you make him. And so what does he do? He punches his hand.
I love that.
How awesome was that? He just...
He punches his what?
And with a straight face.
He punched his hand. His hand was on the table. He just, boom. He's like, that's fucked up.
And then he's like, oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, it was brilliant.
Yep.
I just want my phone call.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty brilliant, too. And the whole time he's asking about his phone call, I'm like, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
They hand him a cell. I'm like, oh, no, that's bad.
Right. Because you knew it was the guy with the stomach had the thing, the bombs in him.
Sure.
It's another thing that wasn't very predictable. I mean, it was incredibly predictable. You knew that as soon as he walked into the cage.
I knew he had something going on.
Yeah, you knew he had something like a bomb or something inside him.
Yeah.
Or a file.
Yeah, look at that guy's belly and that cell phone lights up. And that was pretty trippy.
At first I thought, you know, toward the end there, okay, so you know that there's something wrong with that dude, right? You know it has something relative to do with, say, breaking out or whatever, right? Well, when he first started talking about his phone call when he was in the interrogation room, he was like, can I make my phone call now? You know, you're thinking, oh, well, he wants to call the phones that are wired up to the bombs, right?
Yeah.
And then when this guy, when they lift up his shirt and you see the little device, they're like, oh, shit, he wants to call that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, that was really cool where he said, like, this one is that at that address, that one is at that address. And they get there and he's at the wrong address because he switched them around. Yeah. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
No, wow. Not me.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Awesome.
That was really great.
I loved a lot of the camera shots in this movie, too. I mean, pretty intense. Like when he throws Rachel Doss out the window and she's sliding down the side of the building and Batman goes charging after her and they're just free falling. And you know, he does his little thing and boom, and they slam down on that car. And.
Yeah.
Oh, that's intense. Yeah. Can you imagine and all the stunt work that went into that and the free falling? And I love that it was all for real.
Yeah, it was very cool.
You know, that's great.
Yep. Yeah, I did love that part where he switched the addresses. It was that much, I mean, made it that much more of a kick in the teeth to Batman, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's going to go save his girl and she ain't there. That's
messed up.
When I saw it, I was like, wow, that was really
then cruel. Alfred getting rid of that letter. I didn't like that.
Well, that's because at the end when he gave that, when they were talking about the dialogue about how everybody has to have something to hold on to.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
that's what it is. Yeah.
You know, they needed Harvey Dent to hold on to some kind of hope is what Gotham needed.
Yeah, they needed Harvey Dent to be that. And Alfred knew that
he needed to
believe that Rachel
was going to wait for
would
him.
Would have waited for him and would have chosen him. You know, he couldn't, you know, if it would have destroyed him if he'd have known that
she was going to marry Harvey.
That she was going to marry him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all, she was going to wait for me, Alfred.
Exactly.
And Dent can never know that. He can never know that.
Right.
And.
Yeah, it's lovey-dovey poetry crap.
Well, now he's forever going to be a martyr.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though. That's the thing. That was the thing about the
The whole martyr thing didn't end. He's like, well, I got to be a bad guy now, so you got to chase me.
Well, he was saying that they had to pin those murders of the last six that Harvey Dent did on him.
So they could have named him. They could have blamed it on the Joker. Who cares?
Too many witnesses where the Joker was.
Yeah, and they saw him take the Joker. Well, can't really take
There's
the Joker
There's a million
out.
Bad guys in the world they could blame it on. They don't have to blame it on him.
Well, the town had already blamed enough stuff on him.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
No, I liked that ending. Actually, I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
it's a complicated ending.
Yeah,
no, it just makes him a public menace like Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then it's a copycat.
No. In some of those books, it's like that.
No, I understand the whole vigilante thing, and people don't like vigilantes. Yes, right. But now that he's killed people, and people are going to believe that he's killed people.
Nah.
Well, I don't think they're going to believe it for the whole time. You're going to bring Hart. You know, he's going to be Two-Face in the next movie, probably.
You think?
I think.
Harvey Dent. You think they're going to bring back?
What, you think he's dead?
He was shaken at the end of the movie, so they could keep him alive.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think.
Yeah,
he's
but
dead.
They had a
maybe they'll bring him back like that Scarecrow
shit.
Back for a minute.
Yeah. I don't know. An interesting
I think Scarecrow's going to get more powerful because now what's going to happen is the mafia is going to take over.
They had a funeral for Harvey Dent?
Yeah.
Well, in the end, that was the thing. I mean, they had a funeral. Maybe they didn't.
They had a memorial service.
Some kind of memorial. Yeah. They might not have necessarily buried him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen.
We'll see what. Probably 2010, 2011.
Yeah, something like that. It'll be a while. And I'll be there. It's still going to suck, though, because there won't be a Joker.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine them trying.
They're going to do some CG on the next one. Let's just CG the Joker in there.
That's the worst thing, is that he's still alive. They caught him.
I know.
Wondering Harvey Dent is alive, but Joker's still alive. They could have easily brought him back. Probably planned on bringing him back.
I know. That's
disappointing.
That was the one part when I watched... When I watched him go over, all I could think was, please let him die.
Yeah.
And then he caught him.
Then that would be too much like Batman, to Tim Burton Batman, exactly, where he dies and he's like, that little laugh thing.
Yeah, I know. And also the speech afterwards, the upside down speech, was great.
Oh, I love that.
Know, yes, you know, so. But
like,
all
you're
it did,
just
all it,
too much fun.
Yeah, yeah. I could see us doing this forever. You know, it's like
exactly.
You know, and it was just like all that did for all that. The only reason I say against it was all it did for me was bring back the bitterness of his death. That's all right. Of Heath Ledger's death.
I sure hope they nominate that guy because
yeah, me too.
It was excellent.
I mean
just
and not
excellent.
Not because he died and because
no
he died, yeah, because he rocked that fucking movie.
He did. He really did.
Simple as that.
He did. I could see why he had trouble sleeping and shit like that after playing that fucking character because he's haunting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And not, yeah, like you said, and nothing to do with him being dead and shit. Because no, look at Anton Chigurh's still alive, so.
Exactly. No, I think, you know what I think, though? I think if he hadn't, there wouldn't have been this, there still would have been some hype about his performance, but it wouldn't have been as big. It wouldn't be this legendary performance. But once people saw it,
yeah,
that movie,
word of mouth.
That movie might not have had the opening weekend record or anything like that, but it would have got word of mouth, and that shit would have built. And it's, I mean, this movie's still going to do big.
Yeah,
it still would have done big. It just would have done it in a different way.
Exactly.
And this performance is good enough. I still think they wouldn't be talking about a posthumous Oscar nomination. They would just be talking about an Oscar nomination
exactly.
for a comic book villain. That's
exactly.
All.
Yeah. For a supporting actor.
Yeah, supporting actor, yeah. And it would have been like, wow, for a comic book villain, you know? And all they can say is posthumous.
Well, you want to say that, but then look at, like, not Eastern Promises, but what was the other one that Viggo Mortensen...
History
yeah,
of
look at that.
Yeah.
That was nominated for Oscars.
And that was a comic book.
Yeah, that was a really good story.
Not a comic book in that...
It's a graphic novel, graphic. Just like this.
Yeah, but... You know, there was no people in, you know, super suits or anything like
doesn't
that.
Doesn't matter. Comic book's comic book.
Yeah. Graphic, novel, comic book. They're, yep.
I know. But still, you know.
No, butt my ass. yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for this.